Thank you, Father, for a time that we once again can hear what you are sharing with us as a family, and really to get to know you even more. We thank you for your grace enabling us. We thank you for the ministry of Holy Spirit in our lives, teaching, opening up, but also making your truth a reality so that it's a first-hand experience in our day and today lives. I thank you this morning. We want to thank you that in your incredible way, you are at work in our communities, in our nation and the nations. And what a joy to have that confidence in the fact that you have demonstrated your love by sending your son Jesus. You haven't changed. So we welcome the ministry of the Holy Spirit to convict, to lead, to just touch lives all over the world, to give them and just bring them to Jesus so that Jesus becomes so real to them at this time, and they are able to come and know you as their Father. And we want to thank you for that. So thank you for the ministry of your Spirit, the ministry of your angels, helping those that or coming to salvation, and even for us today, wherever we may be, we want to thank you for just who you are and for your love that you've lavished on our lives. And this we experience because of your son Jesus. We give you the praise and glory. Amen. Amen. Good. And this Rachel, I'll just wait for her quickly, and then we start. Okay, let's go into what we're going to be carrying on. We're carrying on with the theme of grace, and in that John 8 verse 31 that we've been sharing, and the Holy Spirit has really been emphasizing this amongst the disciples of Jesus, we read again this John 8 verse 31, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And everything right now that our Heavenly Father is sharing with us is a grace that is being released over our lives, within our lives, to be able to experience the incredible truth that he's sharing about his grace. In 2 Timothy, there's a profound scripture over here in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. It's very fascinating here that Paul is writing to Timothy, and he says, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." And that word there is be strong, is to be empowered, is to be strengthened in the grace. In other words, be strengthened in the realm of this grace. Remember in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 and 2 that since we've been justified by faith through what Christ has done, we have entered into, by faith, into this, we have access into this grace. And so a reality for you and I to be able to find a strength within this grace which we stand, in which we live as a child of God. And then he says over there that this grace, this realm of grace that we are to find our strength in, is in Christ Jesus. And that is why, as a child of God, we are united, we are in Christ Jesus. So as a believer, as we walk in faith, it's an incredible reality that you and I can experience the reality of this grace that we're in. And so in that John chapter 8 over there, where we start off with a definition, we believe that God is gracious, but the journey that the Holy Spirit is the grace of God upon our lives is for us to not only believe that God is gracious and in the grace of God, but to know from firsthand experience the reality of living in this realm of grace and experiencing the tangibleness, the manifestation of God's incredible love in action. And, you know, so it's about knowing firsthand experience the reality of God leaning forwards and just blessing us and just giving himself to us, for us to be strengthened in his strength, for us to be encouraged in who he is, and everything. And so when scripture speaks about, for instance, the love of God, we may have a definition of the love of God, but as a child of God, we have firsthand experience of God's love. So we know his love. We know his joy. We know his peace. Exactly with grace as well, for us to know his grace. So grace is very tangible. Grace is very, it's a reality. We walk in it. We experience, as we experience being loved by our Heavenly Father, so we are able to experience the working of his grace in our lives. Okay. And that's why when we come to Jesus, one of the great things is that we've come into this, we have access into this grace. When we come to religion, we don't have this grace at all. It's about, the performance. It's about what I do. It's about being paid for, being obedient, etc., etc. And here we have this incredible reality that we are in this realm. Now he wants us to know the reality of his grace. And that is such a big truth, and his love for us to be able to be strong in this grace that is within his son Jesus. Because life is tough. We're facing all these situations every single day, but he wants us to be able to live in this grace, because that is the place where in Christ Jesus, we will see now how the promises of God become a reality. It's only in this place of grace that we experience the promises of God. And there's a lot of renewing the mind. There's a lot of unlearning stuff. There's a lot of responding to the Holy Spirit's ministry within us when he shows us areas of entitlement, when he shows us areas where we think we deserve and all these things. And it brings us to the place where we have sort of emptied ourselves. I think Moses is a brilliant example of walking in grace. And God speaks, in his word that Moses was the most humble person living on the earth at that time. And God gives grace to the humble. And so when Moses is having that encounter with God and God is telling him what to do, Moses was so full of himself. I can't do this. I can't do that. So he was very aware of his own abilities and the enormous task ahead. And God had to speak to him so that he could come to the end of himself and just receive. So when God comes and manifests himself there in Deuteronomy 33, about the glory of God, God reveals his goodness, his graciousness, his love, his kindness, his mercy, everything like that is who he is. So now Moses is emptied of himself and is totally reliant, because he says, if you don't go with us, we're not going to make it. That's the humility that you and I need. We come to the end of ourselves, and God, we're totally reliant on you now. If you don't go with us through this day, we're not going to make it. And it's that there, that's the place where grace is opened up, God's help, God's ability, God's involvement, God's promises, God's strength, everything about God is giving himself to us so that we can live and that we can be strong. So all the time it's that growing in strength, becoming stronger and stronger and stronger in his grace. And so life will throw all these things at you and I. We will see the increase of wickedness all the time. We will see the abundance of like evil all around us and, you know, what people are doing, et cetera, et cetera. But grace abounds more than sin. Grace abounds even more than evil and wickedness. And so we are learning now by faith, because that's why faith is so important, to be able to walk in our day when we're seeing the increase of wickedness, to be able to come and appropriate in Jesus the grace that is needed for the community, for the nation, for, you know, the family, whatever it may be. And that's why it's important for us to take every thought captive, because so often our thinking is violating the reality of God's grace. And so there's no faith. It's our thinking is opposing God's involvement. Our thinking is opposing the love of God that has come through Jesus Christ. And so we've got to renew our mind. And that's part of the repentance is, okay, I thought that's how I was thinking about this person all the time, or that event, whatever the case may be. And we realize, but that's contradicting the incredible grace of our Heavenly Father for humanity. And we've got to just renew our mind and make sure that our thoughts are not destroying. Our thoughts are unbelieving. Our thoughts are anti-faith. Our thoughts are anti-grace. And so the Holy Spirit's helping us to think differently and to renew our mind, and to be able to receive the grace of God and to stay in this grace and to be strengthened in his grace. Okay, so that's what we've been looking at, and we're going to continue with that over the, I think, a few Sundays. In Romans chapter 4, and just looking there at verse 3 over there, onwards there, just because Abraham, remember, for us as believers, Abraham plays a very big role for you and I because of the covenant that God made with Abraham and the seed, and Christ is that seed, and we receive that. And so here when God speaks to Abraham, we see over here, what does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And so that word again, remember, credited, it's totally what God has given to Abraham. Abraham, it wasn't what he deserved. It wasn't what he was looking for. He was just doing, living life, and God broke through into his life over there because of God's divine purpose and spoke to Abraham. And Abraham just was fully persuaded that God, what God is saying, it's going to happen, and he just simply believed. And so he was credited the righteousness of God and brought into a right relationship with God, a right standing with God. No works involved. He just simply believed. Okay. And that's, remember, that's how we stay in grace. It's this journey of faith. We just simply believe. But we will look at that as we go on there. And that's why we see over there, now to the one who works, wages are not credited as a gift, but as an obligation. The one who does not work but trusts God, and that's the journey of faith, who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness. And so that's what last Sunday we were looking at, this reality of faith and grace, and we will go a little bit more into that there, because it plays such a big role in enabling us to be able to experience the manifestation of God's incredible goodness being made known into in our lives and in our families and so forth. And so Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And then we go on and we see over here in verse 16, which we looked at last Sunday, Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abram's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham. And so he's speaking about a faith that Abraham had, and that was he was fully persuaded and he just simply believed. And that's the faith that you and I have. God spoke to you and I. We were fully persuaded what God is saying is the absolute truth is going to take place, and we just simply believed that. Nothing more, nothing less. It wasn't because we were good people or bad people. It wasn't because of we fasted for so many days or we gave so much. We were so good in helping people. Nothing like that. God spoke, we just simply believed. That's the faith. That's the God faith that we received from him. But he goes on and he says over there, he is a father of all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is the father in the sight of God in whom he believed, a God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that are not. And we're going to look at that now because that scripture there is crucial in understanding how promise has become a reality. It's all in the context of faith, of grace, that promise has become a reality in our lives. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. You see, so here we see again the reality of life. Abraham is living life, he's facing the reality of life, but there's this faith and this grace which he's living in. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and became the father of many nations, just as it's been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his divine persuasion, he faced the fact that his body was good as dead. He had emptied himself. He knew the reality of his ability and his wife's ability. It's impossible. Take note, when God gives you a promise, you know it's impossible for you to achieve that promise. It has to be an act of God. Okay. So all the promises that you read in Scripture, you now read in Scripture, you know only God can fulfill those promises. Okay. That's why we need grace and faith. And so without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was good as dead since he was about 100 years old. And that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. And that's the journey of faith and the renewing of the mind all the time. That's what it means to be strong in the grace of God that is in Christ Jesus. This is why it was credited to him as righteous. The word it was credited to him were written not for him alone, but also for us, whom God will credit righteous. That's grace. It's his gift, the gift of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for us who believe in him who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sin and was raised to life for our justification. And so, we've been looking at these scriptures and we need to go a little bit deeper in these amazing scriptures. Last Sunday, we also just touched this one over here in that Romans 5, which I quoted just now. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, and again, notice the word through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And again, we have gained access within this realm of this incredible grace in which you and I stand. And faith, the God-given faith, was the way that you and I entered into this incredible grace of God. So we looked at it over there. We also looked at in Galatians chapter 1, not last Sunday, a few Sundays back, but just listen again. Where Paul is speaking about the body of Christ that began their journey by simply believing, but they started to go back to their own human effort in order to please God. And that's very subtle because, for instance, when we're in grace, we're not saying, but I wonder if God's hearing my prayer. I wonder if if God's going to bless me. I wonder if this, wonder if I've done enough, wonder if I'm good enough. That's all back to the law. That's all back to human effort to become right with God. It's all of that is outside of grace. And so this, the believers here, we're moving back into, oh, we need to be circumcised. We need this. We need that kind of stuff, because they didn't really believe it. They were being fully persuaded that the grace of God, that what Christ has done and what God has given to them in His Son Jesus was all that they needed. It's all sufficient. They were doubting that, and so they were adding on to their journey, their relationship with God. And he says over there, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live. And notice the word there, to live in the grace of Christ, and are turning to a different gospel. And it's easy. That's why he says so quickly. Without us realizing it, we're back into our own efforts. And you just take note of our thinking, and we realize over there that I have an entitlement mindset. I think I deserve God to do this because I'm doing this for God. I'm doing that. I'm doing all these things. So therefore, I deserve to be blessed by God and so forth. In Christ, you have the fullness of grace upon your life. So it's in Christ what He has done, and you just simply have to, by faith, to receive the blessings that come in Christ Jesus. It's nothing to do with our performance, okay? And that's hard for us who've been established in religion for so long. And then we looked here in John chapter 1 quickly, and I just quickly want to go there, verse 14 again. But the Word became flesh and was made and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now that's vital for you and I, because here we see that we have received, carry on, out of His fullness. So out of the fullness, remember, He was full of grace, full of truth, full of God's incredible love and action. In other words, it was the Father in His Son leaning forward through His Son, touching humanity. And so now you and I, we have received the fullness of that. Our life journey is grace upon grace. So as the Holy Spirit reveals more about who Christ is and the Father is, and we receive that, we're stepping into more of the manifestation of the abundant grace that is in Christ Jesus. So that's our journey, to journey into the fullness of grace and truth. So the Holy Spirit, He's the Spirit of truth. He takes us into all truth. He guides us into all truth. And so we experience grace and truth as we just take hold of His teachings. Remember John 8, we take hold of His teachings. His teachings become our reality, and we know the teachings, the truth sets free. We're experiencing the freedom of what the grace is all about and the manifestation of God's grace in our lives. And then he says, therefore, the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So that is what we were looking at last Sunday. So I want to go back to Romans 4, because here we have some very important truths here in verse 16 that I'm going to spend a little bit of time this morning. Therefore, the promises come by faith. So we see the word promises, we see the word faith, and we see the word comes, and we see the word by, and we're going to give you an understanding what that word by means, because the English doesn't explain it there very well. So that, and the consequences, the reality of this, so that it may be by grace. So we're speaking about the promise that comes by faith, in order so that it may be by grace. That's God's involvement, and that may be have a guarantee. So it may have a guarantee behind it to all of Abraham's offspring, which is you and I, not only to those who have the law and so forth over there. Now, and then we, as I said, then we said He is our Father in whom we believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. Let's face it, every promise that God has given to you and I, it's not, is not a reality at that time. Okay, and that is why it is God who calls, God who gives life, God who calls into being things that he has promised, which is not yet manifesting in our lives. That's why the promises of God is all his gift to you and I. And we'll look at that now. So, what is a promise then? Let's start off with what is a promise. A promise is, as we know, it's a declaration. It's an assurance that one will do something or that a particular thing is going to take place. So here we see with Abraham as the example, God comes and he breaks into Abraham's routine of life and he begins to speak to Abraham, and God declares to Abraham. He's making a declaration, as we see there in Genesis 12 onwards over there. He's making a declaration of what God is going to be doing for Abraham. It's God's declaration, okay, that he is doing it. So there's an assurance. It's God is assuring Abraham, Abraham, this is what I'm going to be doing to you. This is the future of your offspring. And that declaration, that's the promise. Abraham simply believed. And he just took hold of that promise of God. And he lived his life despite the reality of his inabilities and his wife's inabilities. And he just continued to press through because God had decreed, God had declared, God had given assurance. This is what I, God, it's not to do with you, Abraham. It's got nothing to do with the government of that day. It's got nothing to do with who's what the different nations and all the enemies of the nations. It's got nothing to do with the enemies. It's got nothing to do with the weather. It's got nothing to do with circumstances. It's got nothing to do. God overrides all of this stuff in our lives, and he makes a promise. And you and I, as we hear the Holy Spirit open up that promise that God has given to you and I, we simply receive that because we are fully persuaded, despite the impossibilities, this is God's promise. I know in my own human ability, I can't make it happen. I have to rely on God. That's the faith. That's the trust. That's the relying on God. That's the coming to the end of oneself and our own ability to make things happen and surrendering and saying, God, I totally rely on you. I receive from you. You are the only one who is able to do what you have promised. And that's why Abraham was fully persuaded that God was able to do what he had promised. Okay. And this is the God faith that you and I have received. This is the faith I'm speaking about here when it comes to the promises of God, when it comes to the grace of God. And so we've got over here, therefore the promises come by faith. Now, before I move on over there, you see, we see over there, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring. This word guarantee, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, let me just read that there in verse 20. It is, that word guarantee is such a profound truth for you and I, because when God gives a promise, it carries his guarantee. He cannot lie. It carries his ability. So we know what God has promised will become a reality. There's no doubt about that because God has spoken. And as we just shared early on, he is above all the circumstances of our lives. He is above the impossibilities that you and I face in our lives, okay? He has guaranteed something in our lives. He's spoken, we've received that promise. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, well, no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. Jesus, full of grace and truth, Jesus has made that a reality. We are in Jesus. So every promise that our Heavenly Father, no matter how many promises he has made, they are guaranteed. They are a yes in Christ Jesus. And that's when Paul writes to Timothy to be strong in the grace and the grace that is in Christ Jesus. exactly for you and I, because it's so easy for us to doubt, to lose hope, to place the promises of God on the shelf there and just let it get, sort of forgotten about over there. But there's a shifting taking place. The Holy Spirit is blowing upon the promises, reminding us of the promises of God, so that once again we can just get back into this place of grace that is in Christ Jesus, so that we can receive the manifestation of the promises God has given. And there's a renewal of the mind, there's a thankfulness, there's so much that the Holy Spirit is helping us to be able to come alive again with that hope, with that confidence, with that assurance, because faith is assurance. Remember, with that assurance that what God has promised is going to become a reality. We see there in the armor of God, the huge area that Satan attacks a believer is in the area of faith. Okay, and it's that shield of faith that puts out all those attacks that Satan comes, particularly towards the mind, in the way we think, and him trying to persuade us about life and living and so forth. May the Holy Spirit really just enable you and I once again to hear the voice of God as we read through the scriptures, that God will just speak and just open up scriptures, that you will know, God, you're giving me a promise today. And once again, I'm able to just receive it. Now I know it's only you that can fulfill these promises. Now help me to remain in this place of grace, trusting your ability to come through for us. And so we see that over there. And that is why, so through him, the amen is spoken by us. That's our response. That's our faith response by the glory of God. And it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. This is the work of God. This is the work. He's anointed us, set his seal of ownership. That's the guarantee that you and I have as children of God. He has put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. So we know that this is about the bigger picture of when we die and the whole reality of entering into a realm of eternity that is beyond our comprehension right now. But the same applies to the promises of God. He's given us the Holy Spirit as a guarantee that what he has promised is going to come a reality. See, God is not like man. He cannot lie. And so Christ is full of truth. He came and made truth a reality. He's come to make grace a reality so we can live in the reality of God's grace, of God's truth. And so let's go back to Romans chapter 4 now. And I want to just touch a word over here, because in the English, we see that over there, therefore the promise comes by faith. Now, that word faith is not doing justice, because that word by, the promise comes by, that word by means from within. Very, very important. So the promises come from within faith. That's huge. That is why faith is a big deal. That is why Abram's example of what faith is all about, where he believed and the promise of God came into reality within that faith that he had received from God. And that's why when the Holy Spirit started to teach us about the difference between little faith and small faith is a big deal. Because Abraham, yeah, the little faith, the small faith, it's small as a mustard seed, but it contains everything, everything within that faith to bring about the reality of the promise. And this is why unbelief is such a destructive thing for us as believers, because the promises don't become a reality. The promises come from within the reality of faith. And so we see that, you know, remember Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith brings, you see, that's the reality, our hopes into reality. So the promises of God that you and I have received, they are within that faith. That as we walk in faith, grace and faith all working together, the manifestation of the promises become a reality. It is this. May the Holy Spirit really just make us very conscious of the unbelief that's really in our hearts. And a lot of the time that's because we've hoped in God and we've been disappointed in these things that there. May the Holy Spirit just help us to understand why things haven't taken place, because we didn't understand this what he's sharing with us now about the promises are they come from within the reality of faith. So they're in that faith that God has given. The promises are all in that over there, and they come to manifest. And Abraham is a brilliant example. So now faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes a foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. And it is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. And that is the reality of Abraham, where he was fully persuaded that God was able to do, and also that God gives life to the dead and calls into being that which was not. That which was not in our existence is in that seed of faith that God gave to you and I. The promise is in that faith, and it's by his grace. It's a guarantee, so it's not going to depend on whether we have a bad day or a good day. God has promised. All that depends on you and I now is to continue just walking in that pure, simple faith. Nothing more, nothing less. And we start to see the manifest. And that's how grace works. And that's a profound thing over there. But let's go back to that 16. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace. God's doing. And may be guaranteed. God's guaranteed it. That word guarantee, in the classical Greek as well, it's a legal terminology. So in Christ, there's that legal from the kingdom of God. The promises have a legal status. It's a legal backing. It's a heavenly stamp on that promise in Christ Jesus. And when you and I are living in the reality of whatever we do in his name, we are walking in that realm of grace. We are experiencing the realm of grace. So whether I go to my office and I'm doing what I'm doing, I'm conscious, God, today what I'm doing, Lord, I'm doing it in your name. I'm doing it in the reality of your grace that is enabling me to function, is enabling me to go beyond what I'm able to do. And it's that reality of grace. So when we pray in the name of Jesus, as we started a few weeks back over there, whatever you ask in my name, the Father's going to do that. When we pray in the name of Jesus, he's brought us, we've entered into the receiving mode of grace. We're able to receive the promises that God has spoken in and through his Son Jesus. We are able to receive. But as I close over here this morning, just to go back to that reality of faith over here. Therefore, the promises comes within faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all of us. Praise God for that. And so, guys, as we have the communion this morning, I think it's just a tremendous celebration where we can just once again just enjoy the favor, the grace, the goodness, the incredible love of our Father towards us, and just be free from any sort of self judgment about ourselves because we haven't been born, we've judged ourselves, we haven't been good enough, and all those kind of things that we do when things don't work out well. And it's just, Lord, I simply believe you've made a promise. And now I simply believe. I've had to this past week, the Holy Spirit was just reminding me of certain promises. And just again, it's just receiving it by faith, knowing that this God-given faith, from within this faith comes the reality of the promises, all of God's action. I must just walk with Him, keep in step with Him, keep on believing, and just having a surrendered life to Him. And that's the humility of having a heart after God and renewing my mind, abiding in the truth, and, you know, being a disciple of Jesus who listens and who responds, takes the word in and starts to live according to what the Holy Spirit has shared. And that's how He leads us into all truth. And you want to know your purpose in life, you want to know reason for existence, it's simply that. What the Holy Spirit is sharing, let it become a reality in your life. He guides you into all truth, and we walk step by step into far more than what we've planned in our own lives, greater than we can imagine. So God bless, and let's celebrate the grace of God through His Son Jesus. Amen. So Father, thank You once again for the gift of grace, the gift of righteousness, the gift of faith. Thank You, Father, for what You're sharing, that the promise that You have given to us is within the faith that You've given us. And I ask that that will open up so that we may understand the connection between the fulfillment of promises and the relationship with faith and grace. As You gave that with Abraham, likewise with us here today, Father. So thank You for that. I want to thank You, Jesus, as we have communion with You. It's mind-blowing that because of You, every promise that the Father has made is a yes, it's guaranteed, has a legal backing, Your blood, Your death, Your resurrection. It's got the legal backing to all of us. And we want to thank You for Your gift of righteousness that we have received. So thank You, Lord Jesus, for helping us as we eat together and we drink together. Thank You. Let us be established in being strong within the grace that is in You. Not in our grace, but the grace that's within You. Help us to be strong in that, Jesus, as we remain in You, we abide in You, and we thank You for this. Amen. Amen. Oh, guys, just enjoy having the communion, yeah.